Ready to go. Well, thank you. For 40 days and 40 nights, Moses was on the mountain with the Lord. I want to tell you a story that I've told before. Some of you were not here because I told it years ago. But it's a formative story for me. It's part of what birthed in me the whole emphasis of with and its importance in my life. And if you're not sure how important that word is to me, go check out my vehicle. My vehicle's license plate says with. In the early 90s, I read a book titled The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Anybody read that book or heard that book? And these are the 7 habits. 1, be proactive. Don't just be passive, waiting around. Take charge. Move forward. And begin with the end in mind. Know where you want to go so that you're not aimless in getting there. 3, put first things first. Don't do the small stuff. Do the important things first. Think win-win when you're in a conflict. You don't have to always conquer the other person. See if you can find something that works for both of you. Rule number 5, seek first to understand the other person and then to be understood. 6, synergize your ideas with others. And 7, sharpen the saw. Take rest. Improve yourself. He compared it to cutting a tree. If you never take time to sharpen the blade of that you're cutting the tree with, it's going to take you a long time to cut that tree. Quit cutting the tree, work on sharpening the saw, and watch what happens. Well, I read that book, and I decided I'm going to get proactive. By the way, I'm going to try to remember you guys are back there. So there's a bad cord I'll try to avoid. Anyway, I got proactive about all this. I dreamed of what I wanted to become when I grew up. I'm still dreaming about that, by the way. I decided I'm going to put first things first. And I knew in my heart that one of the first things that I needed to take care of was an improved prayer life. Too often the prayers that I prayed were only on the fly while I was in motion, doing one thing on my way to another. It was after I'd completed something else. I had done the other thing first. And I also noticed that while I was praying, often I would remember emails that I hadn't returned yet and phone calls that I had not responded to, and I'd leave off from my prayer and go take care of those emails and phone calls. And also my prayers were focused primarily on my needs. I need this, Lord, help us with that, and so forth. Truth is, it's still an intentional effort on my part to pray and to pray that I want to and pray the way that I believe I need to. When Covey wrote about the first things first thing, he used an effective analogy. He put a jar on a desk, and then a little pile of sand, a little pile of small rocks, and another pile of larger rocks. And he would invite people to come to the table and say, hey, can you fit all of these rocks and this sand in this jar? And most people would come and put the sand in first, because that would go right to the bottom and leave the most room for what was left, and then add the smaller rocks and to leave as much space as possible for those big rocks, but they never could get all of them in that jar if they did it that way. Finally, somebody would figure it out, or Covey would show them, and he'd say, put the big rocks in first, because those smaller rocks can work their way around those bigger rocks to the bottom, and the sand, of course, can find its way anywhere in that jar, and it will fit. Take care of the big rocks first. The most important things first. Probably the analogy is obvious, but he wanted the big rocks to represent the important things, not the minor details. Make sure that they get in your calendar first, and let the smaller, less important things figure out if they're going to be in your calendar or not. So I put prayer in my calendar. I wasn't going to just pray between appointments. Beginning next week, prayer was going to be my appointment. More about that later. Our text, actually, regarding Moses and God, is a big rock kind of story. Moses, in just the last several months before this text was written, he has led the Israelites out of Egypt, and he's led them to Mount Sinai. And by the time Liz has picked up where the scriptures took us today, that he's already read to them the Ten Commandments and a number of other laws about crimes and personal injuries and property loss and so forth. Moses has already told the people these things. And it's taken five chapters to list them all. And the Israelites said, we'll obey. Whatever you say, Moses, whatever you say the Lord said, we'll obey it. And so you would think that having brought the Ten Commandments and having brought all those other laws, God might be done with Moses, but he's not. The Lord said to Moses in chapter 24, verse 12, come up to me on this mountain and stay here. Stay here and I'll give you the tablets of stone with the law, not just the spoken law, but the tablets of stone, and the commandments I have written for their instruction. Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will. In other words, he's saying to Moses, Moses, I know you've probably got a lot of things on your mind. You're new at this leadership role, but don't do your emails now. Forget about every other thing right now. Stay with me. Come up this mountain with me. I've got something for you that's going to require your complete attention. Verse 13. Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in this dispute can go to them. In other words, Moses made arrangements for somebody else to take the calls, somebody else to respond to the emails and those solicitors that would come knocking on his tent door. He's going to make sure first things are first, and this is going to be taken care of this time with the Lord. Verse 15. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, according to the scripture, the glory of the Lord that Moses was sitting in, that cloud that I just read about, it looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. And then Moses entered the cloud and he went on up the mountain and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't let himself be distracted. Didn't matter if he was remembering other things. He stayed with the Lord. Back to my story. When I began my more intentional effort to pray, I put in my calendar an appointment that I was going to pray every day for 1 hour, at least during the work day, during the work week. And I was going to start the following Monday. Monday came, I went to my office, and I kept my appointment, and I prayed. And when I was done praying, I said to myself, now what will I do with the other 55 minutes? I remembered everything that I could remember and prayed it and got it done kind of quickly. And I knew that wasn't enough and that's not what I was aiming for. So I decided I was going to get out my laptop and I'm going to type my prayer because at least it's going to go slower. At least it's going to use more of that hour. But the truth is, it provoked my thinking in a new way. I got out my laptop, opened it, began typing, and the words nearly tumbled out of my fingers. Did Jesus know when he went into the wilderness that he'd be there for 40 days? I kept on typing, and the next it was, when Moses went up the mountain, did he know it was going to last 40 days? And the truth is that in the Jesus story and in the Moses story, there's nothing that indicates that either one of them knew that they were going to be up there 40 days. They were just going to stay until Father was done with them. We'll talk about Jesus another time, but I spent some time that day thinking and reading about Moses. What would Moses have missed if he wouldn't gone up the mountain to speak with the Lord? What would Moses have missed if he had decided to answer his emails or phone calls instead? What would he have missed if he'd have went down after that first glorious experience of being near that cloud and then just go down after 6 days? Well, if we go beyond the text that Liz read for us, we see what he would have missed. Exodus 25, 1 through 8. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. I know what you're thinking. Here comes the money thing. Nope. Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You're to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. This is a personal thing that God is saying. This is a special offering. I don't want you to tell them about it in an obligatory kind of way. I want you to talk to people about what's in their heart to do. You're to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood. Olive oil for the lights, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. As you can tell, high quality things, expensive things. Onyx stones, other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplates. Then, and here's the important piece, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. The Lord wasn't asking for these things to make himself rich. He was asking for the supplies to make a home among his people. Moses would have missed instructions for making home with God. Meanwhile, back at the ranch at the bottom of the mountain, chapter 32, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." They've got no time to wait for the whole thing. They're too busy. They've got to get on with life, and they want a shortcut to worship and to get their gods, and they urge Aaron to give them a god. Here's what struck me that day when I was writing at my laptop. All that time that Moses was with God, God knew that his people were falling apart at the bottom of the mountain, and Moses didn't. But God knew. God could have said, "Moses, I was going to tell you this, and I was going to tell you that, but the thing's falling apart. I need you to go down and take care of that, and then come back here." And God didn't care. From God's perspective, it was more important for him to sit with Moses and share these instructions than it was to prevent a disaster. God would rather use Moses, and I believe God would rather use us to clean up a mess after the mess is made rather than interrupt the time together with God, where God expresses his heart and makes his desire known about a way to live with us, his children. If Moses would have heard of the rumors of chaos in the camp, he'd have been offended, he'd have been distracted, and he likely would have left his time in the mountain to get it done. But he'd already made sure that other people were going to take care of the interruptions. He would have missed the instructions of how to build the dwelling place of God. Beginning today, we're consecrating another 21 days of prayer. In our congregation, it's a big rock kind of event. It gets in the calendar. I make sure, if at all possible, that I'm not traveling during those 21 days, that I'm back and I'm ready and that I'm with God's people. It's together we seek God. But we set aside these days at the beginning of the year to ascend the mountain and to meet with our God, to share our hearts with him, yes, and most especially to hear his heart. What is your will, Father, for your people this year? How do you want to live among us this year? I want us to be an important part, a significant part of the dwelling place of God in the city of Ottawa. I don't mean in competition with other congregations or anything like that. I just want us to be home to God. I want the Lord to make himself at home with us. I want to know what his instructions are that will help make this happen. And like James and John, who'd heard about Jesus from their mentor, John the Baptist, when Jesus noticed them and turned around to them and asked them, "What do you want?" What a great question for Jesus to ask me and to ask you. What do you want? I love their answer. Where do you live? I believe the Lord would ask us before we come to him at our 21 days of prayer, Christ Community, what do you want? And in one form or another, let our answer be, where do you live? We want to know that place, we want to know the way to that place, and we want to live in that place where you live. I want us to be where he lives. Would you get ready with your worship team, please? If you know that praying together this way is important, I'm asking you to to thoughtfully consider about making this a big rock event on your calendar. Maybe you can be in the room with us. It's not a law. The Bible didn't say show up at 8:07, therefore, or else. But there is something special about being together. Maybe you can't, and maybe you'll link by the streaming. Just link. And if you really want to encourage us, text us or send a message online. Hey, we're with you. Or if you can't be up at 6 in the morning, because that's not God's particular grace for you, find some time in the day that you just set aside time to give your heart to the Lord and to appeal to the Lord. And if you're done after 1 minute, after 5 minutes, just get out a notebook, just get out a pen, and thoughtfully, prayerfully, sensitively, make your heart known and listen to what the Lord might say. Let's put first things first in the beginning of our year. Those of you who do come to the room, not only bring your prayer, bring a laptop, bring a notebook that you can quiet, pray and record what you hear the Lord saying. And let's stay with it until God is done. Until God has told us, until God has shown us, this is my will for my people. Today's the first Sunday of the month. We have a rhythm at Christ Community that together on the first Sunday of the month, we take communion. There's a thing I repeat every time we take communion. I'm going to repeat it again. The experience of communion is initiated by the heart of Jesus himself when he said to his disciples in the upper room, I have eagerly desired to have this meal with you. And he includes us today in that eager desire. So number one, notice, it's not just matter-of-fact stuff for the Lord. He eagerly desired. It's not just an ought. It's not just a should. It's a desire. I want you to know you're wanted. I've eagerly desired to have this meal with you. Some might come from a tradition where in order to take communion, you need to believe a certain theological belief. You need to have all your sins confessed and squared away. That is not our understanding. We know that Jesus invited to that Last Supper sinners. He invited Judas, knowing that Judas was about to betray him. He invited Peter, knowing that Peter was going to make a promise he couldn't keep. And I got weird news, but good news. Jesus has a reputation for sitting with sinners. You're invited to this table. He eagerly desires to have this meal with you. I wonder if you'd stand with me. Here's how we do. Well, first of all, let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence in this room today in your gathered people. Thank you for a fresh turn of the calendar page to a new year. And this year can be whatever you and we make it together. Lord, we're coming to you at the beginning of this year saying, your kingdom come, your will be done. And help us, Lord, to perceive what it is and to act in faith. We bless your name. Lord, now we get ready to remember you and your gift to us. We thank you that you eagerly desired to share it with us. And we ask that as we take communion, new grace, new forgiveness, new healing, new help, new strength will come into our hearts and come into our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Here's how we're going to do it. Why don't we begin with the back row, move towards the center, go get the cup, go get the bread, go around the back of your row. The back row, you got to get it perfect because we're going to follow you the rest of the way. And then, yeah, circulate back to your chair. Go ahead and wait for further instruction. And same thing on this back side.